Let's open up our Bibles this evening to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We will be considering especially the portion, the 19th section, Kof, verses 145 through 152. But since this is the first time I'm bringing Psalm 119 here, we're going to read, first of all, the first section, Aleph, verses 1 through 8. Which sets the tone and gives the theme for the entire psalm. And then we'll continue reading from verse 145 through to the end of the psalm, verse 176. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, first of all, Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Then to the 19th section we go. Psalm 119 is structured in such a way that 8 verses of the section begin with that particular alphabet, each bearing a distinctive thought being emphasized. We'll read from verse 145 through 176. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Resh, now we go to the next section. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Shin is the next section. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. And finally, the last section, Tau. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So far we read from God's holy word. May the Lord bless the reading of his word unto us. The 19th section is our consideration this evening, and in particular the verses 145, 146, and 152. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, back in my home congregation at Bethel, we have been considering this lengthy psalm over a period of time with breaks in between. Psalm 119 has a unique place, even as it has a unique structure that gives instruction, is helpful in giving instruction for the Christian life. The psalm is divided into 22 sections, each corresponding to an alphabet of the Hebrew language. In that design and poetic structure, the psalmist has a particular goal and purpose. And his goal and purpose is to set forth 22 distinctive truths or building blocks for the Christian life. Most literally, these are the ABCs of the Christian life. And these ABCs of the Christian life have one goal and one purpose. And that goal and purpose is set forth right away in Aleph of that psalm, the very first section. You'll find that to be set forth particularly in the verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That word blessed could be translated happy, so that what we have here in Psalm 119 is the goal of maintaining true joy and happiness in life. Maintaining the joy of walking in God's word. The joy of communing with our Heavenly Father in the way of walking in his word. That's the godly goal and purpose of the psalmist of Psalm 119, so that all the alphabets build towards that goal and purpose. And in particular here in this 19th section of Psalm 119, when we arrive at this section, we arrive at really what is the final portion of this psalm. This final portion consists of the final four alphabets of the Christian life, beginning with this section. The psalmist had laid out 12 distinctive basic truths of the Christian life in the first 12 alphabets. And then in the sections 13 through 15, he had spelled out for us some of the heartfelt joys of walking in that word. That word is a light unto his path. That it keeps him in blessed safety. Then in the section 16 through 18, we find him exulting in the sanctifying power and nature of God's word. God's word causes him to walk in righteous ways. God's word gives him wisdom. God's word keeps him zealous for his just and righteous God. Now, in beginning to conclude his holy song, the psalmist spells out here final reminders for his and for our earthly pilgrimage, beginning with this thought and in this section, which is a holy determination to keep the word of God. I will keep thy statutes, he tells us in our text this evening. Consider then with me the word of God this evening under the theme, determination to keep God's word. An important characteristic, its humble expression, the blessed means. Every one of us recognizes that determination is an important characteristic in life. The psalmist here very importantly expresses determination right here in this section of the psalm and right away, right on the get-go with verse 145. I cried with my whole heart. Sense the intensity there. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. And now notice, I will keep thy statutes. That's determination expressed there right away. And every one of us, of course, recognizes determination when we see it. Just call to mind some expressions of determination in our earthly life and living. It wasn't so long ago that we had the Sochi Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and I believe that some of us have tuned in to some of those events and competitions to see all of that was going on, which excited us. We saw undoubtedly expressions of determination on our TV screen. A clenched fist. A look on the face that goes along with that clenched fist. Or else, a sudden burst of energy in the middle of the race, apparently from out of nowhere. Or a continual action that keeps on going and going and going in spite of obvious fatigue and exhaustion that simply won't quit. That's determination expressed. Or else it may be expressed in the way of words, I'm going to get it done. I'll do it. I will. Here in this section of Psalm 119 and portion of God's Word, we have expressions of determination, particularly the verbal ones, but also the non-verbal ones, implied by the intensity of the cry, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and then the verbal one, I will keep thy statutes. Besides verse 145, notice also verse 146. I cried unto thee, that's the intensity repeated once again, save me and I shall keep thy testimonies. Here as in verse 145, we have the repetition of the I will. There is also, of course, that repetition of the cry to God for help to back up that determination. Not a faint-hearted cry, not a half-hearted one, but a whole-hearted one, as the psalmist tells us himself. Determination. Determination to be faithful. Determination to be obedient to God and keep His word is clearly on display in this section of the psalm. But it's not only The godly psalmist of Psalm 119 who expresses such a determination. Such expressions of determination are found liberally and generously with the children of the living God, even in the record of sacred scripture. In the Old Testament, you think of the faithful persistence of Daniel and his three friends. A faithful persistence and determination to keep God's word that outlasted many a powerful wicked ruler, that saw even the fall of that great empire and the rise of another one that outlived that too. There was determination there to be faithful to keep God's word in spite of the threats thrown against them, even threatening their very own lives. Daniel just wouldn't quit. Nor would his contemporaries, prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, quit. They were persistent. They were determined to set forth God's word before God's people so that they would keep that word. Persecuted they were. Thrown into prison they were. But they continued wholeheartedly in what they were called to do. And in the New Testament, think of the godly Apostle Paul himself, who expressed determination in connection with the Christian life by use of the picture of a runner running a race. Two passages come to mind. First of all, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," referring to the heroes of faith of Hebrews 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Determination from his own heart that carries itself forth in those and exhortations. Let us lay aside everything that would hinder the Christian race. Let us lay aside our sin. Let us lay aside everything that would hinder that running of the race, and let us run. And notice, let us run with patience. This is a long race, not a 100-yard sprint. It's more like a marathon. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the source of our faith and our strength. And also again in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, the inspired apostle writes, "Not as though as I had already attained, either were already perfect." Paul knows that he is not perfect, that there is more in the Christian life. There's more growth, more sanctification. And he writes there, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do." Notice the focus of the apostle here. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was focused. Paul was determined. He had his eyes at the finishing line. More than that, he had his eyes on the prize, the gracious prize awaiting him at the end of the running of his race. He was determined. He pressed forward. Didn't look back. He was determined in his Christian life. Well, that's determination expressed. What does determination speak of? Two things. First of all, determination speaks of a goal and purpose. If we are determined to do something, it is because we have a goal and a purpose to begin with. We can't possibly be determined to do something if we do not have a goal or a purpose to begin with. That first of all. And then secondly, having determination speaks of a commitment and a dedication unto accomplishing that goal. Now, it's one thing to have a goal. It's one thing to say that we have this goal and this purpose. It's another to follow up on it. Much like people of the world make New Year resolutions at the time of the passing of an old year and the coming of a new year. They suddenly feel motivated to make a New Year's resolution. But as the weeks and the months go on, that goal and purpose stays on the shelf. It's left in a cloud of dust. He who has determination displays a commitment and a dedication to that goal. And along with that commitment and determination, the drive and the energy to work towards that goal. That makes determination important. Without determination, we are either goalless, purposeless, drifting around aimlessly in life. So right away, the question and application this evening, first of all, is this. Do you have goals? Do I have goals? Or are we drifting around aimlessly in life? And still more, since I believe it is the norm for us to have goals, to have purposes in life, still more and closer to our hearts, for those who have been bought by God through Jesus Christ and His precious blood, we who have goals, the question to ask further is, are those goals? And are those purposes? Do those goals and do those purposes resemble the kind of goal and purpose the psalmist has in Psalm 119? The maintenance of that relationship with God and the maintenance of the joy of that relationship and that pilgrimage with God, the joy of walking in His Word. The joy of pleasing Him in all our thoughts, in all our ways. Are they the same? Do they resemble the goal and the purpose of the psalmist? Or do we have other goals? Do we have other purposes apart from that? That's, of course, taking us away from that God-centered goal. We human beings can only have one goal and one purpose. To either it's God-centered or else it takes us away from Him. Do we have that kind of goal and purpose that takes us away from Him this evening? If that's true of you, this evening, God calls you to repentance. And God calls you to a renewed commitment to the goal and to the purpose of a heartfelt walk with Him. And the joy of that heartfelt walk, unspeakable joy, that the psalmist sets forth before us in Psalm 119. And for all we then who have a heart for God and that goal and purpose of God to joy in life by walking in His Word and growing in it, you and I can be stirred up within us to the psalmist's determination to keep God's Word by noting its wonderful characteristics. What are some of the characteristics of this determination of the psalmist? Four of them this evening. In the first place, the psalmist's determination to keep God's word was fervent and strikingly so. I call your attention to the verses 147 and 148. I prevented, writes the psalmist, the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent, that's that word prevent again, the night watches that I meditate in thy word. To prevent is a good, striking, powerful translation of the Hebrew verb here, which at the very least means to anticipate, even more, to come before. In other words, so fervent was the psalmist in his determination about meditating God's word and hoping in that word that he anticipated the dawning of the morning. He came before it. It was as if he was so engrossed with the meditation of God's word that he was blocking out the morning, the dawn from coming. I prevented the dawning of the morning. The same could be said about the night watchers as well. Fervent, so fervent was the determination of the psalmist. Do we have something of that fervent spirit ourselves in giving ourselves to the meditation, daily meditation, reading and study of God's word? Fervent was the determination of the psalmist to keep God's word so that he looked forward to meditating on them, but also in the second place, understand that this was a holy determination. A holy determination marked by a twofold motivation, negative and positive, a motivation unto holiness. Now in verse 149, we hear the psalmist turn to God for strength for a second time in this section. Quicken me, he cries. And then we have, first of all, the negative holy motivation in verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Giving us at least indication of the fact that the determination of the psalmist was motivated by the negative fact that there were sinners close in his life who were a threat for him to sin against his God. This verse gives us an indication of the psalmist's abhorrence of sin and his desire to be kept from sin. The psalmist had a holy fear and aversion of sinning against his God. That's him. How do we ourselves stack up with regard to having a fear, a holy fear and aversion to sin, of coming too close to sinners and sinning against God? So often we overestimate our own strength. And we underestimate the fact that we could be led to a situation where we can so easily be led to sin against our God. But not only did the psalmist have a negative holy motivation not to sin against his God, he also very importantly had a positive holy motivation. Notice verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The psalmist knows in his heart of hearts that God is near unto him, and he desires to devote himself to God and to his word, to all of his word. All thy commandments, O Lord, are truth. God is near. He's always near. He is Lord. He is Jehovah. The psalmist consciously calls to God with that name, understanding that that's the covenant name of God. The God of holy friendship and fellowship with his people through Jesus Christ. In turning to God for strength, the psalmist is assured that God is near, and he demonstrates to us that his determination to keep God's word is a holy determination. And therefore, in the third place, understand that this is an exemplary determination. An exemplary determination for us not only to admire, wow, look at this, it's so fervent, it's a holy determination, and to be excited about, we ought to be excited about it. But more than that, we ought to say in our heart of hearts, I want to have this kind of determination more and more in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, for my God. This is an exemplary determination because this, after all, is God's Word. And God's Word in its inspired songbook, so that not only the psalmist but the church of all ages is called attention to this song. And therefore, in that way, called attention to the exemplary determination of the psalmist to keep God's Word. Which of course leads us to the fourth important characteristic of this determination of the psalmist to keep God's Word, and which is that this is a supernatural determination. This determination of the psalmist to keep God's Word is not of the natural stock of man. It's not the natural determination that athletes, even Olympians, top-class athletes, have to compete and win. It is not of unbelievers who have goals and who are achieving their goals and have determination to do that. No. It's so much more than that. It's a supernatural determination, and that explains why the psalmist was fervent, why the psalmist was holy, and why also this determination was is exemplary for the church of all ages. It's divinely worked. It's worked in his holy children by his amazing grace. It's a holy determination. It excites us to a fervent determination for God. It causes us to devote ourselves to Him, to focus on Him, to have Him first in our lives. In making us determined for the things of God and His Word, it is a determination worked in us by no other but God Himself. A work that takes the Word as its fuel and energy for a holy fire to live for God. A holy fire and determination to keep God's word. For that word to be remembered, meditated on, applied in all my life. A determination that caused the psalmist in his heart of hearts to pen under the inspiration of the Spirit all 22 sections of the psalm. And to be focused and to be ready always to sing of these sections, to be reminded in that powerful way to live a God-centered life. This was the confession of the psalmist's experience with God in his own life, and so precious an experience that he, under inspiration, would make all these things a spiritual alphabets, building blocks for the Christian life, even to make this determination to keep God's word an alphabet and a basic building block for his life. That's his confession. That's his determination. Is it, people of God, also yours? And is it also mine? Is the psalmist's confession, determination, and priority to keep God's word also shared by you when you are tempted to stray away from it in the work week? When you are so busy and busy and busy that the activities of the day have a way of squeezing and squeezing out of you a zeal for God and His word? Is it your confession and determination when you are dead exhausted, drained, fatigued, after having a hard, hard day and night? I prevented the dawning of the morning. I hoped in thine word, in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watchers. The psalmist was focused on God's word. The word of God sets forth that determination of the psalmist as the alphabet of his Christian life. Do you also not see why that determination for God's word is so important in your life, people of God? If you do, then you will also find the place for its humble expression, as the psalmist laid out, especially in verse 146, a humble expression for God to give us this supernatural determination. The psalmist understood that this determination to keep God's word was supernatural. He asked God, he pleaded with God. He cried to God. That was the intensity of his plea, telling us that this is such a wonderful, humble expression for this supernatural determination to be renewed in his life. Verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. The humble expression is a pleading, an urgent pleading and cry to God to save. Particularly here, in that word save, we find the idea of giving strength, so that determination may be renewed. Now, by that word save, God reminds us that His work of salvation is so much broader and so much deeper than Christians in general in the church world around us would make of it. Sometimes in the vocabulary of the church world around us, the word save just means first conversion. And then in the Arminian background of the church world around us, it means that we bring that person to conversion. Sometimes the impression is left by some churches that first conversion is all that matters in the word save and salvation. And so all efforts are spent on that, to get that person by hook or by crook, by persuasiveness, by Christian drama, by doing all kinds of things to bring salvation to that person, as if we could work that work. Salvation in the Christian life is so much more than even true first conversion, which is very important, but which is God's work. Salvation in the Christian life is about being strengthened by God's Word. Salvation in the Christian life is about learning God's Word. Children, that's what you are busy doing, learning of God's Word, so that you can take your place in the church as a confessing member, especially at catechism instruction. Salvation in the Christian life is about learning, about discovering and applying that Word in our lives. All 66 books of the Bible are in view here. It's about growing in obedience to the Word in our prayer lives. It's about growing in our service to Him. Or in the language of Psalm 119, it's about being steadfast in the ABCs of the Christian life, recalling each alphabet, living according to that alphabet, so that I may joy and experience joy with my God as I walk in His Word. And one aspect of which here is the posture of prayer to God. That is a building block of the Christian life here. And here in the expressed in the thought of the cry in verse 146 and 147 is the thought of true humility. Necessary humility. God will bless us, but God wants us to ask of Him humbly. Humility is necessary because that which God saves us out of is exactly its opposite. Pride and arrogance and self-reliance. Pride and arrogance was in full display when our first parents fell. We shall be as God. And then comes Jesus, who alone is truly meek and humble, and calls us to Himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls. In other words, humility is necessary because it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ working in us. Because the Spirit shows to us that we can do nothing, absolutely nothing, apart from Him. Apart from His Son, apart from our Savior, and apart also from the way of prayer, which is God's way for us. Particularly here in this section of Psalm 119, God's way for us to be renewed in our strength and determination to keep God's Word. So do you pray, beloved? Do you get on your knees? Do you realize your need to turn to the Lord for strengthening every day of your life in that determination which you are called to by God's Word to keep His Word? This Word which the psalmist seeks to keep more and more, is not only the way to please God, it's also the blessed means that God gave to him and to all of us to grow in this holy determination. God's word provides us the nourishment. God's word provides us the fuel, the energy to burn with a holy determination for him. Now the psalmist gives us indication of that in that last verse of this section. Writes he, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Those testimonies refer to God's eternally founded word. They are founded in him. Therefore, the word which spells out the way for us to go, those good old paths for us to be in, are solid paths. Solid paths for us. This means then God's word is good. It gives us the energy that we need to be holy because it comes from God himself. Just as God provided manna from heaven to his people when they traveled in the wilderness so that they had the nourishment and energy they needed on that pilgrimage, so also we are led through that picture to the spiritual reality that God's word gives us the necessary nourishment and energy along our pilgrimage as we set our goal and purpose to arrive safely in heaven. There is blessedness in this nourishment, the blessedness and joy of walking in his word. So God's word is the blessed means for us to be renewed in our determination. And particularly so, the preaching of God's word. It's not the only means, but it's the chief means of grace. And that's why the emphasis has always been in the Reformed churches that God's word be preached faithfully. Expository preaching be carried out so that God's people might feed on that word along that pilgrimage and be strengthened along that way and be determined to keep God's word along that way to heaven. But there is a broader application here that which I want to point out to us tonight. Notice there's a cycle being drawn here by God's word. The determination to keep God's word is fueled by the blessed means of God's word. That's a cycle of strength we need to keep in mind all the days of our life. We need to be found in that cycle. We need to grow in that cycle. And apart from that cycle, we are weak. When we are away from God's word, sometimes that happens even when we are seated in the sanctuary, when we are away from God's word, when we are not meditating on God's word daily in our lives, when we are not diligent to do that, we find ourselves weak. Don't we? And the determination for the things of God is weak. And on the other hand, when we are found in that cycle, when we are busy in this cycle of strength, in God's word, receiving that word by faith on Sundays, regularly, morning and evening. Meditating upon that word throughout the day, all the days of the week. Coming together as brothers and sisters, communing around that word during Bible study season. The strong were determined, were healthy, we're walking in God's ways. We are joyful Christians. God grant to each one of us then faithfulness to the means that He gives to us, His Word, in the preaching of the Word, in the study of the Word, personally, and also congregationally. God gives that to us, and in the way of giving that to us, God gives to us this determination, a strong supernatural determination, worked more and more in us, so that we are conscious of it, and conscious of it that we go with strength on this pilgrimage, being held by Father's hand to heaven above. God bless this word. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless this word, for we confess that our faith is weak, that we often get discouraged by the things that happen to us in our lives, that we can so easily become distracted and lose focus along our pilgrimage. So along that, in that need then, the psalmist, inspired by Thee, wisely sets forth this 19th alphabet, determination to keep Thy word as a building block, a basic building block for his and therefore for our Christian life. Make it so more and more with us and with our children. Hear our prayer. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen.